This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Or we could talk a little Mets thoughts here at the trade deadline. Obviously, the Mets coming off losing 2 out of 3 to the Reds. Disappointing first two games of that series, a much-needed victory, and a great pitching performance from Peterson. Diaz does blow the save, you know, with runners on, came in to get the final out with a runner on first, ends up giving up a run on a hit by hit batter. The team rally scores in the ninth. Bottom of the eighth. Stanek comes out and finishes it off for the ninth. Huge win, needed that. Couldn't get swept there. Heading into a series against the Angels, who just took 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia. So the Mets currently sit a half a game out of first place, not playing all that well. Lost the Baltimore series, won the final series in Kansas City heading into the All-Star break, and now have come out and lost the first 2 of 3 of the second half, and, you know, offense still being a problem for them. So as we hit the trade deadline, I do think it's fascinating. We don't know how Stearns operates here in this market. And, you know, Stearns, I heard Lori saying this as I was driving in. Stearns has been more adept, or should I say just more, I don't know if comfortable is the right word either, but being the Milwaukee Brewers GM, he's made moves, no doubt, to acquire players, of course. Everyone has. But a lot of his biggest moves, the ones we all know, the, you know, Hader trade, like, he has moved players away. He has taken the big player who makes the big money or is about to make the big money and moves them. I mean, listen, he acquired, what's his name from Miami? And he has had Christian Yelich, who, you know, had MVP seasons, has been great. So he's acquired talent, no doubt about it. And he's been aggressive. But right now with this team, this market, with the needs they have, I think it is fascinating to see how Stearns handled it. Now, there are pitching prospects throughout the minor leagues. There's not just the three that we all know right now, with Sproat being, you know, the least effective, I suppose, this year, but still probably their top prospect. Hong is really done an incredible job in Double A and has been one of the more effective starting pitchers in all of minor league baseball this year. And McLean has had a really nice year as well. So those are the three we all know. There are other names throughout, but I just find it fascinating. This is the one thing. Now, look, we'll see how aggressive they are come the trade deadline. And, you know, I thought that with the bullpen opportunity and the bullpen needs, I thought David Robertson presented an opportunity. It's someone who's pitched for both teams here in New York, won a championship. I believe he is now that he's back with Major League Baseball. If you haven't heard, David Robertson signed a $16 million prorated contract with the Phillies. So that's going to be, I think it's a little over $6 million for the rest of the season, which is a nice chunk of change for someone who wasn't even on a roster up until this point. But he's been working out with a bunch of different teams. The Yankees were one of the teams getting a look at him. The Mets were one of the teams looking at him. Instead, he went to the Phillies for $6 million. That seemed like a wasted opportunity for both teams, but particularly the New York Mets, and only because the Yankees owner is a little bit cheaper. The Met owner has been shown to use money as a weapon more than any other owner in baseball, and the opportunity to just bring in a reliever for just money. No prospects, no nothing else, just money. And even if it doesn't work out, even if David Robinson doesn't help as much, just money. You can still go out there and trade for relievers. You can still go out there and maybe trade for a starter and move Clay Holmes to the bullpen, as I just thought was possible at the start, at the end of the 2 o'clock hour, as I mentioned. But there's still opportunities to go do that. But that just felt like a guy who's been here was very good for the Mets in 2023 before they traded him at the deadline early. He was that first initial move that made it obvious the Mets were selling at the deadline. But he's pitched well here. He pitched well for the New York Yankees. He's now that he's back in baseball, as I said, the last member of the 09 championship still playing in Major League Baseball for the New York Yankees. Two different stints with the Yanks, with the Mets, very successful. Even last year pitched to an ERA around 3. So I thought that was an opportunity for both teams, but particularly for the Mets because the owner has the appetite to go over the luxury tax and not care about money, where I think the Yankees probably need every dollar left under the cap to go out and make moves of more impact maybe than Robertson. But I would have been happy if the Yankees signed him. So I thought that's a missed opportunity for the New York Mets as you're looking into this deadline. But we'll see, because the owners, what kind of could, you know, is Stearns willing to move guys? Are we looking at salary dumps? What kind of pitching prospects can you trade if your belief as an organization is to not sign free agents? I've talked about this a lot. I find it interesting to see how the Mets are willing to trade pitching prospects when, and that's probably what a lot of the teams throughout Major League Baseball are looking for when they're making these trades. If you are going to build a rotation without big-time money and without big-time talent in the free agent department, because you don't believe in giving long-term contracts to 30-year-old pitchers, which is pretty much, you know, most of the starting pitchers hit the free agent market, and I understand that thought process clearly, but if that's what you're going to do, it's hard to continue to piecemeal the rotation the way they've done for the last 2 years and be successful. Now, they have over the last 2 years, and maybe he's found the formula. But you're going to need guys to come up through the minor leagues. And if you have top pitching prospects like the three names I mentioned just prior, it's hard to move those guys. So if they're off the table, how many pitching prospects do they have at the lower levels that would entice other teams to give up any pitchers of value? Is it strictly trading from position player prospects, you know, such as Jet Williams, or like, are these top prospects on the table for the New York Mets to move? Like, I think the Yankees would be willing to move their top prospects for the right deal, for team control. I do not see it, nor do I want it, for players of, you know, the rental status of being a free agent next year. Is Stearns willing to do that? Is Stearns willing to move top prospects at all, whether it's for players of control, whether it's, you know, what level of aggressiveness is David Stearns going to go out there and try and accomplish? And I would think, like, you look at the landscape, and I know the National League is better than the American League, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a Yankee bias American League guy. I think that narrative is changing by the day a little bit. We see how good Toronto is, how well they're playing, although they're still frauds until proven otherwise. The Detroit Tigers have the best record in baseball. The pitching for the Astros and what they've been able to do historically as well as this year. I still think the Yankees are pretty dangerous. I know I'm biased in that department, but you look at the National League, the Phillies can't figure it out. The Braves are done. Right? The two teams in the division you were worried about, one is floundering just like the Mets, and can't win a series at home coming out. You want to talk about showing urgency? They can't take 2 out of 3 against the Angels coming out of the break at home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
And they're floundering just like the Mets are. They've been a 500 team just as long as the Mets have been. Almost 73 quarters of the season. I was listening to Evan. The Mets have played 100 games. The last 75, they're one game over 500 for the last 75 games of the season. That's three quarters of the year the Mets have been an average baseball team. You could point to the Phillies, the same thing. The Padres have not been overly good. The Giants just got swept by the Blue Jays. The Dodgers just swept by Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the hottest team in the National League. The landscape is changing slightly. The Dodgers are not dominant. Mookie Betts has an OPS lower than Anthony Volpe's. Let me say that again. Mookie Betts has a lower OPS than Anthony Volpe. I'm not messing around. That's a fact, Jack. They just got swept by the Dodgers. They've been swept by the Angels. They are not a dominant baseball team. They're still very good. One could argue, and very convincingly, that they're still the best team in baseball, but they are not some sort of juggernaut that can't be stopped. Right now, the hottest team is Milwaukee. Is that a team that you can't compete with? The Mets beat them in the postseason last year. This is the time to go for it. Now is the time to go be aggressive and try and bolster this team with Juan Soto, with Alonso, who's not under contract next year, or I know he's got an option, he ain't taking it, trust me. Right now is the time. Lindor's not getting any younger, although he's been terrible as of late. I mean, every game, 0 for 4, 0 for 5, 1 for 5. He's been brutal for the Mets as of late. On a weekend where we thought maybe they would announce he was the next captain of the team, he's been terrible for them. So, now is the time. They are right there. They are as good as any team in the National League. And they have a chance to go out and be aggressive and go try and take this thing. So I'm curious to see how Stearns handles it. I'm curious to see what's available, how aggressive they'll be. Are they willing to trade some of these big-time prospects for rentals? Are they willing to trade them at all for even guys with control? How does Stearns handle this? How do they view this season? Because they did sign Juan Soto for a 15-year deal. Like, depending on how they view it, it could be just the beginning of a championship window. Do they view Lindor still as someone who's got many years ahead of him? Obviously, Soto does. Vientos comes through with the one hit, but was terrible in the first night of the back from the All-Star break. Overall, has been not nearly the player you thought. Is he expendable? Is Mauricio, who had a terrible game on Saturday, expendable? How aggressive will the New York Mets be? I think they should be pretty aggressive because I think this is an opportunity to go out there and win a championship and be as good as anybody else in the National League. Again, the Dodgers just got swept. They have injuries in their pitching staff. Their bullpen has not been as good. Their lineup has not been as good. Right now, Freddie Freeman is dealing with an injury. I believe his x-rays came back clean on a wrist injury, but he's down a little bit. Mookie Betts, again, has an OPS less than Anthony Volpe. That's to me and to most of baseball, that's the most important stat. So let me just tell you this. Anthony Volpe is having a better offensive season than Mookie Betts. That's where the Dodgers are. Go out there and be aggressive if you're David Stearns. And we'll see if he is. And I think you got to be open to anything. You got to be willing to move pieces. You got to bring another bat in here, whether it's third base or center field. You got to go out and get bullpen arms. You probably would like to get a starter for depth purposes. Doesn't have to be the ace there. I would think bullpen is where you want to get the most impact. Center field is where you want to get the most impact. But it's time to go out there and be aggressive. And I think, again, and I've talked about this a lot last week. Last week, this was one of the major themes that I discussed all week. We kind of know, at least I feel I know, Brian Cashman's going to be aggressive. If it's not out there, it's not out there. If teams are asking for too much, they're asking for too much. He won't make what he deems to be a bad deal just to get a player. But I know he's out there looking to be aggressive and make impact moves. I would think Stearns is handling this the same, but I don't know. We do not know how Stearns operates in this moment. He has never been the GM of a big market team with World Series or bust mentality. He has never had to do that. He has always been out there looking to make the smart move. And here's another dynamic that comes up when I get into the defense of Brian Cashman and my Yankee shill bag. It's easier to be the GM of a big market team and spend all money. No one's saying it isn't. But on some level, when you know as the GM of the Milwaukee Brewers, the GM of the Tampa Bay Rays, and I know Milwaukee's not quite the same as Tampa Bay, but when you are the GM of a team that you know you are not going to put big money in a lot of players, and you don't have the World Series or bust mentality, it is a bit easier to sit back and stick to a plan. It is a bit easier to say, I'm not doing that because I don't see the value. I'm not doing that because I know I can't pay him. I'm going to ship him and get a whole bunch and see if I can hit right, and then I'll do this. And it is a little bit easier when you don't have to extend yourself under the idea that I bet I have to go out there and win a championship. It is a different element. And I think we look at it and so, with all that money, it would be so easy. I just saw Marash put out a tweet. I know for some reason me and Marash have been clashing over our baseball takes lately. It's probably because he's not smart. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only joking around. But we've been clashing a little bit. And he put out a tweet saying the Yankees roll out of bed and win 90 games. And if they had a salary cap like football, Brian Cashman would be Dave Gettleman. And I know many of you probably agree with that. And here's what I would say. The Yankees' success, and I'm going to use that word success, over the last 25 years under Brian Cashman, has made you to believe this is easy. That you can do it. That the team, quote-unquote, rolls out of bed and wins 90 games. It's not that easy. Ask people around baseball if they think having the career that Brian Cashman has had for the last 25 years is easy. Ask other GMs around baseball if they believe teams roll with just because you have a $300 million payroll or a top five payroll or a top two payroll, that you're able to just roll out of bed and win 90 games. Because the Mets have just started this. The Mets, in their second year of having the top payroll in baseball, finished under 500 and sold everyone. It is not easy. It is not a guarantee. And just because someone has some money doesn't make it always easier, because he can't sit back and do nothing. He can't sit back and go, I can't make this move. I don't like the value. There has to be improvements made. There has to be an effort to chase a championship. How will David Stearns, under this new way of operating, because it is different in many, many ways, I'm not an idiot, in many, many ways, it is easier. But when it comes to moving prospects, it comes to the deadline, it comes to making trades, it comes to valuing chasing a championship as opposed to just the players and what makes sense, there is an added element to making moves when you are now the New York Mets with a top payroll and expectations of a championship. It's not the same as dealing in Milwaukee and looking for shrewd moves. You have to go out there and make an impact. And I'm very fascinated to see how he handles it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dan in Long Beach. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. So you want to make moves. You have two of the top pitching prospects on the Mets. You want to sell the farm right now to make a move for a championship right now?
Yeah. You don't want to make a move to try and win a championship this year?
Well, me, like, I'm a Yankee fan. Okay, but just personally, I know, besides the point, to, like, give up the actual prospects that you see are good in the field, it, like, what's actually out there and how are you improving? Like, what are those moves that you think could actually be done at the deadline coming up?
Yeah, I mean, well, one, we're not even sure who's available yet. Yeah, I'm not saying trade big-time prospects for a bad player just to go do it, but I'm saying how aggressive are you going to be willing to be? How, like, are you willing? There's going to be arms that are available. There's going to be pitching, you know, Burden, Colorado. There's going to be maybe Class A. Maybe some big-time pitchers get moved. Are you willing to trade prospects for them? You don't think Class A, yeah, another top pitcher, bullpen arm, would help them in the back end of their bullpen right now? Help them go chase the championship?
And, like, why not give your boys that are already in the farm?
Who?
So you have Jonah, like, one of the right-handed pitchers that's a top prospect in the MLB, like, coming up. If first bumping him up to the show early and paying for that contract, since you have the
prospects are just prospects. What makes you think they're going to come up and be successful? You can't rely on that. You can't, as the New York Met, okay, trying to chase a championship, you want to call up a prospect and then just say, oh, yeah, we're going to throw him in the back end of the bullpen. He's going to be great. We have no idea what he's going to be.
That is absolutely true. But you have a 98-mile-an-hour arm that then you're going to give away, and maybe he ends up being the next Aroldis Chapman.
Maybe he does, or maybe he doesn't, or maybe the guy you bring in helps you win a championship. Like, I don't, like, you want to use to, and I, you know, the comment, I let it go because but you said you're a Yankee fan. You don't want to trade any prospects for the, I'm not, and again, I didn't say the Mets have to trade their top prospects. In fact, I think it's unlikely they trade their pitching prospects because they need some of those guys to hit to keep a rotation afloat the way they want to handle it. But should they trade no one? Again, I'm for a rental. No one expects them to trade top prospects. I'm just saying, if the right move comes up, how aggressive do you want to be? Prospects are prospects. Do you want to go win or not? Should the Mets treat this trade deadline like they're a couple of moves away from winning a championship, or you know, could improve themselves and be the best team in the National League? Or should they treat it as if, well, Soto's here for 15 years, and we've been doing really well, and we're building something here, and I need my farm system, and you know, it's been a franchise that hasn't done well with its farm system. Less players have come through our farm system to make major league teams and rosters than any other team in the sport over the last 15 years, and that needs to change. So let's just stand pat. There's still a chance we win. Hey, anything could happen. And let other teams make moves, and we'll just sit back and see if we're good enough. And we could be if things break right. Or should they say, the Dodgers aren't as good as everybody thought. We're right there. If we make a couple of moves to bolster this rotation and bullpen and center field, like, we're a bat and a couple of bullpen arms away from being a much better version of ourselves, and that's worthy to go out and chase a championship. They're the New York Mets. They have the highest payroll in the sport. But they're right there with the Dodgers as the highest payroll in the sport. They just signed Juan Soto. It's time to go win. Now, I'm not saying make stupid deals. I'm not saying trade away your best prospects for, you know, average relievers who are, you know, rentals. But how aggressive do you want to be? David Robertson was the first opportunity to go be aggressive. They didn't take it. I'm not going to kill them for it. I would have done it. I would have thought about doing it. Especially because it's just money and I have the richest owner in the sport. But you want them to just sit back and say, well, we could be good enough. I mean, we've been 500 for the last 75 games, but I mean, there's a chance we could win. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Well, let's see what both teams do if they chase.
Yeah.
I don't know about David Stearns. I don't know. He's still acting like a small market general manager. I mean, in certain respects. Okay, they got Juan Soto.
Well, I mean, they want him. They want him to be like that in some respects. I mean, that's the idea of Cohen's money and his mid-market, you know, kind of mindset. Where you pounce on the big ones like Juan Soto, and then you make shrewd, smart moves. Like, there is a dynamic to
that. How many shrewd moves have they made this year that have led to them being successful like they were after they had that rough start last year?
I mean, I think...
Their pitching has been suspect.
It's been pretty damn good. They had the best rotation in the sport for a long time, and then
they
got some injuries, but now Kodai Senga is coming back. Manaea is back and has been throwing, you know, relatively well. He's given up what, 2 runs in 7 innings of pitching so far this year. Clay Holmes has been he hasn't been a Cy Young Award candidate, but to bring in a reliever and transition him to being a starter, I think they've done a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, but now all you have now is innings limits on these guys.
Yes.
It's what's going to hurt them in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have any. Look, I go back to way back when we had 8 innings and then a relief pitcher, or even complete games. I've seen so many complete games, it makes my head spin. And then I look at today and I say to myself, what's so special about bullpens? But these guys are not. I know they're not trained, and you have to save their arms because they make a lot of money. But the thing is that way of thinking doesn't always work in real life. All these analytics don't always work. I mean, do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, that analytics don't always work, or that the yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not a big always and never guy. Nothing always works, and nothing never works. Like, you know, it's just.
Right. Somewhere in between would be sufficient. But they're going all in on everything, on all the analytics. I mean,
I don't think so, Stu. And thank you for the call. We love the word analytics as a dirty word in baseball. Right now, every once in a while, I'm fascinated. I know, Carlin, the comedian, used to always. Why am I blanking on his first name? George Carlin. George Carlin. always talks, you know, would have the 10 words you can't say on television or radio or whatever, and he was big on words. Like, it's funny, in sports we latch on to words that really don't have the meaning that we have behind it, but we like, so right now analytics is the dirty word of baseball. Like guys throughout the history of baseball haven't paid attention to numbers and trends and tried to go with it. I mean, it's taken to another level because we have the ability to monitor it, but I don't think there's a player in baseball who wouldn't want information, that's ever played the game, who wouldn't want some information or handle things a certain way or look at things. Like, you know, if you told Joe DiMaggio that, you know, if he, you know, when he swings at the high fastball, he hits 20 points lower and he's better off waiting for the low pitch or something, you think he wouldn't use that information or wouldn't take it? He'd go, shut up, I just see ball hit ball? Maybe. Maybe. But we use analytics as a dirty word, and then we latch onto other words. Like, a lot of the popular words right now are accountability. Accountability has become the new hot word for everything that's wrong. When something goes wrong, no accountability. No accountability. Got to have accountability. Where's the accountability? This guy holds no one accountable. No one's accountable. Accountability is a big new word that we're using a lot. But I don't think they've leaned so much in the analytics. Again, I don't think they're handling their pitching staff as strictly analytical. Like, yeah, they believe in analytics. They've done a nice job with their lab helping pitchers become the best versions of themselves. But they are handling the rotation based on the idea, and this isn't analytics necessarily, pitchers get hurt. We see it over and over and over again. That's why I have no problem trading Cam Schlittler. I don't. I have no problem trading him. We saw him once. He throws 100 miles an hour. He can't go the next time out. He's got to sit. He needs an extra couple of days because his arm hurts. This is baseball. So the idea that the Mets are just treating the rotation and don't want to invest long contracts, big 7, 8, 9 year contracts to starting pitchers because they get hurt, that's not analytics necessarily. That's just noticing the trend and the obvious nature of what pitchers do today, throwing as hard as they do, throwing as hard as often as they do, not saving anything. There's no, you know, pitchers used to pitch differently. Sandy Koufax didn't come out and throw his hardest fastball the first pitch of the game and the last pitch of the game. There was subtleties to it. There was an understanding, I got to get through 9. It was a different world. Guys come out now and throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, and we see injuries all over the place. So the Mets don't believe in giving these guys money because it ends up being bad contracts. It's not necessarily analytics. It's just, it's a reasonable thought process. The issue is, if you want to win a championship, in my mind, unless they're spectacular at this, and maybe they are, and maybe they'll have guys come up through the farm system and be great and be the aces they need. But you need, and Senga, they paid Senga before Stearns got here. But they paid Senga. He's been great. They brought over Manaea. He's been great. If you can find those aces like that, bravo. But I really do think eventually you're going to have to take a chance on a guy here or a guy there to really give you that top-end talent. But that's not analytical necessarily. That's just the thought process of, hey, we have a really good team that recognizes strengths and weaknesses, and we're able to get pitchers to be their best versions of themselves. And a lot of these guys, if you can get their best version, it's good enough. And that's part of the Met problem, because the rotation is not supposed to be the best in baseball. The rotation isn't supposed to be what carries them. The rotation is supposed to be good enough to complement a dynamic offense. That's what this team is supposed to be. And the offense isn't dynamic enough. Even Juan Soto. Listen, I know we talk constantly about Juan Soto, and I don't have to go on wax poetic about Juan Soto forever. Juan Soto is having a great year. Juan Soto's OPS is where Juan Soto's OPS typically is. Juan Soto's home runs are even on pace to be as good or better as last year's career year at Yankee Stadium. He's hitting home runs. He's hitting for OPS. He's getting on base. He's stealing more bases this year than he's stolen in previous years. I mean, his defense isn't great, but it's fine. He's Juan Soto. He's every bit Juan Soto, except in one department. Juan Soto is not nearly as clutch as he's been in almost every other year of his career. I can't speak to the one really bad year when he got traded over to the Padres. But for the Yankees last year, he was incredible in the clutch. He came through for the Yankees all the time. The big home run in San Francisco to give them the lead off their closer. Like, just constant. And obviously into the postseason, the home run that sends them to the World Series. The base hit that wins them the first game of the year against the Astros. Like, from the jump, Juan Soto was probably, outside of Stanton in the postseason, their best clutch hitter all year long. And right now, as great as Juan Soto is, and he should have been an all-star, without question, he should have been an all-star. He's worthy of that, and he's been their best player here since June. No doubt, having a much better season than Lindor. Since June, being far better than Pete Alonso. But he's come up in a bunch of moments. And I heard Evan say this on the Rico. There's a lot. You walk up and you go, wow, this would be a great spot for him to have that moment. This would be a great spot to have that moment. You say it constantly, and Juan Soto, unfortunately, just hasn't come through. And too many guys, you look at the lineup, they do not hit with runners in scoring position. It has been an issue for them all season long. And Juan Soto right now is the poster boy of it. There's no doubt. Now, is it going to happen all year? I don't know. I don't think it'll happen all 15 years of his career, clearly. But sometimes you get in these modes. Look at Pete Alonso. Last year was never clutch until he was clutch in the postseason, clutch the rest of the postseason, and now has been their best clutch hitter all year. Like, it comes and goes. So maybe it lasts all year. I don't know. I don't expect it to because he's great. But the fact of the matter is, too many guys on this team. Lindor had a month stretch from, you know, the end of April through the end of May, and then really hasn't been that good this year. Pete Alonso started like a house of fires, cooled off, had his moments even while cooling off, but for the most part has not been that same guy we saw in April. Nimmo up and down. There was a stretch of the season he looked like he was about to end his career. Then they move him to the two hole. He got hot. He's been, you know, relatively good for them since. But other than that, who's been a consistent offensive bat? I mean, McNeil you could put up as one of the more consistent offensive bats, believe it or not. And Lindor, as great as he, and Juan Soto, as great as he's been, there's no doubt he just has not been that dynamic, big moment player for the Mets so far this year. And that, it just needs to change. But, like, I don't think any of this, I don't think the Mets are too analytical. I don't think the Yankees are too analytical. I think analytics are something that all teams use, and when teams struggle, we lean into that. It's all the same. They all use the same crap. They all do the same thing. No team's not analytical. Any team that's not analytical is stupid. Who doesn't want to use numbers? Now, you can overdo it, absolutely. But I don't think the Mets rotation issues are because they're over-analytical. I think it's because they recognize pitchers get hurt, and although they have the most money to spend, I mean, I guess the Dodgers, technically, that's a group. But, I mean, Stearns has as much money to spend as anyone and is capable of spending on anything he needs or wants. Just because that's the scenario doesn't mean you want to give out big long-term contracts like the Yankees did with Max Fried and then have a guy who consistently has blister issues all year long and then has the elbow problems and, you know, the last 2 years, the last 4 years of the career, a disaster. Like, that's what they don't want. But at the same time, aren't you glad as a Yankee fan they went and signed Max Fried this year? Where would they be? And thankfully, he's back for this huge series against Toronto as Rodon, Schlittler, and Fried will pitch in the series. And I want to get more into this as we go through the show because now we're getting, you know, this is. Now, the Mets are having a big series right now. They're chasing down the Phillies, no doubt. But they're welcoming the Angels at home, and they better win 2 out of 3 or it's going to get a little hairy around here. But the Yankees go to Toronto tonight for the biggest series of the year. Tonight is the biggest game of the Yankee season. There is no doubt. I don't know what you got going on. Thankfully, my kids' flag football season is over. I got nothing to do tonight. I'm going to go for a run. Who am I kidding? I'm going to sleep as soon as I get home. I like to tell myself I'm going for a run. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have to watch my kids at 2:30, and I'm not going to listen to a dance. I'm not going to, they're going to talk to me. They're going to say, they're going to ask me daddy, daddy, and I'm just going to go, yep, because I have one thing on my mind as a Yankee fan. This is the biggest game of the season. Carlos Rodon, Mr. Big Game himself, the man none of us trust, and rightfully so, in the biggest game, having a great year, being an all-star this year, shutting down the Cubs in an 8-inning shutdown performance his last time out. That's the best offense in the sport, and he shut them down completely. He is having a great year, and he is capable of shutting down anyone if he's capable of shutting down the Cubs. But that game wasn't that big. That was off a win streak. That was against the National League team with the end of the first half in sight. The Blue Jays are three games up in the division. The Blue Jays have won 10 consecutive home games. The Blue Jays kicked the crap out of the Yankees for four straight days, including pounding him. Oh, 2 weeks ago. This is the biggest game of the year. And they've got a guy on the mound who's had a great year, but none of us trust in big games. And has failed in almost every chance he's had to pitch in big games this year. This year, against the Blue Jays, got his ass kicked. Against the Mets on a 5-game losing streak, got his ass kicked. Against the Red Sox, got his ass kicked. He's pitched great. He's shut down big-time lineups. He's been there for them all year. He was a deserved all-star. But it's time for him to show up in the biggest of games. And the Yankees haven't played a bigger one all year. This is the biggest series of the year. It starts tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, Switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
What's going on? How are we doing on this Monday morning? Already Monday. It goes by fast. The summer is, what is today, the 21st already? Man, oh man. We are, you know, 10 days away from the trade deadline, 10 days away from August. Camp starts tomorrow. I was just going to say, football. You took the words right out of my mouth. Football teams are reporting tomorrow. Football is underway already. Oh, my God. It goes by fast. The summer is gone. Let's get back to your calls, though. 888-808-1019. We still got baseball to talk, as that is still on the forefront of our minds. The Yankees have an enormous series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Revenge on the mind of the New York Yankees. The trade deadline. The Mets coming off a series loss against the Reds. The Yankees coming off a series victory against the Atlanta Braves. Just a ugly, miserable, sloppy, disgusting series victory for the New York Yankees. Nobody's ever happy. Even when they win, no one's happy. I get it. They did play sloppy. But that offense, that game on Saturday, what a huge win. I didn't watch it until Sunday morning. Again, I went to Philadelphia I took my boys to Citizens Bank Park, which, by the way, beautiful park. Really nice. Reminded me a lot of Baltimore. A lot of outdoor areas to sit and eat. A lot of food options. The kids played wiffle ball. You know, took some wiffle ball swings. Rock wall climbing. It was great. I love Yankee Stadium. Don't get me wrong. I do. But as a father, like taking the kids places, the Yankees really don't have. They have a very nice, you know, little playground upstairs to jump around and play on and stuff like that. But, I mean, they don't. They have a little mini wiffle ball field. I know Citi Field has the same kind of thing. But it was a lot of fun. Just an impromptu go to see a new ballpark because they like to see all the ballparks. So I didn't get a chance. I didn't get home until late, and then I watched it the next morning. I scared the hell out of my mother screaming at 9:30 in the morning when Grisham hit that home run. That was awesome. That was a big-time win. I still don't know if it's the best win of the year. It's a huge win. They would have fallen behind four games in the division. Huge win, don't get me wrong, but I still really like that Seattle win, being no hit through five and then coming back off of, you know, Munoz is one of the best closers in baseball. I know they had a little tip on him, and obviously another issue with tipping as Jazz Chisholm was picking up something at second base and relaying it to Anthony Volpe, and the Braves had a problem with it. What a bunch of crybabies. Seattle didn't cry. They recognized it. It's perfectly legal. Stop tipping your pitches, you dopes. Good on the Yankees. How about that? Is that on Aaron Boone that the Yankees are one of the better teams in baseball picking up on pitches and it helped with two big offensive performances? Is that something that we can give Boone credit for? Does that weigh on the manager? Is that something that we could look towards the manager for, being up on these type of things, paying attention, not just, you know, standing on second base with our heads up, are you know what's? I doubt anyone would say that. I probably get more calls that it's cheating and it's Aaron Boone's fault than I would be. Yeah, look at that. They're pretty on the ball with that, huh? John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, see you, Mac. How's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, Yankees third base, right?
Yes.
I got a little solution that's kind of outside the box.
Okay.
Now, if I told you, you know, Rafael Devers was a Yankee, you would be excited, right?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose. Sure.
Now, if you put him at third base, you know, we all know he's terrible at third base.
He's not very good defensively, no.
Not very good defensively. What if I told you Cody Bellinger could probably play a better defensive third base than Devers? You would probably say, yeah, right? Because Cody Bellinger is pretty damn athletic. You know, he can play first. He's got 2,500 innings experience at first base. He's a really good outfielder defensively, very athletic, and could probably play better third base defensively than some third baseman out there currently.
No, come on. He's a left-handed thrower. Those guys don't play they don't play the infield. He can play first base, that's it. It's an awkward movement. He's not going to play third base.
Are you sure he's a left-handed thrower?
Yes, I just double-checked while you were talking because I wanted to make sure before I said it. But yes, Cody Bellinger's a left-handed thrower. He's not gonna play third base
totally,
left-handed.
That totally backfires everything.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Nice try. How about Goldschmidt? Goldschmidt could play third base, and then you could put Bellinger at first. Oh, is that
what
you want to put?
You
want to put Devers at first base?
Well, no. I'm not talking about Devers, though. You know, I'm talking about, you know, what if we just take someone like Dominguez, who actually throws righty? I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah.
Or a Goldschmidt,
Yeah, listen, there's no, all we do is complain about how they play guys out of position. And then on the playoff run, you want to put guys at third base? Like, all we do, we just watch the issue with Jazz playing third base. And Jazz is an infielder who was great defensively last year. All we do is complain that the Yankees play guys out of position. And then we'll get calls like John. I'm not sure John's not the only one, because we get calls like this. Oh, or remember when Paul Goldschmidt was getting ground balls at second base? Everyone's like, ooh, Paul at second base. We complain they play guys out of position, and then you want to tell me let's make Jason Dominguez a third baseman. Let's make left-handed throwing Cody Bellinger a third baseman. Oh my goodness! Let's go out and get a third baseman. How about that? I'll take Devers. I'll take Devers and play him at third base. The Giants aren't going to trade him, but I'll take Devers at third base. I'll deal with the defense for that kind of offense. And I know he's struggling, but you bring him to Yankee Stadium, I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances. I want a sound. Listen, Suarez, everyone wants to trade for Suarez. He's not that good a defensive third baseman. Let's go to John in Yonkers real quick. What's up, John?
Don Mattingly played a couple of games.
Yeah, I know. He did, but he wasn't going to play there all the time. You can't play third base every day as a left-handed thrower.
Well, we know that. But the thing is, first of all, Chris, why don't you do some weightlifting? You would be a monster.
I am a monster.
But I mean, you'd be a super monster, if you started. No,
yeah. I was an athlete of the year, Cary High School. I used to lift weights. Should I get back into the gym? I should.
Yeah, well, you can't. Whatever, time. But I could be a monster.
I could be a monster. I was in high school. I'll still take my chances up against anybody.
Right.
Let's do some Oklahoma drills right now. I'm in.
Let's do the 40, the 60, and the 100.
Well, I don't know about that. We don't have to run. Let's just hit it. Let's just put on the pads and run into each other. I'm more into that.
Yeah.
I have a low center of gravity. I was good at putting people on their back.
Yo, 1 yard line. There's only one guy we know is getting that ball. It's you.
That's it.
But the thing is, they say you could hire somebody to go to the gym for you, but I don't know how that works.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What you always got to hope for, and thank you for the call, John. I know you probably wanted to talk soda, but we're up against the break, and you took your time telling me to go to the gym. It's not my fault. You could have talked soda. Call back tomorrow. I've always wanted, there was a terrible movie. I think it was called Dreamcatcher, and it's about this group of friends where something happened to them, and they have this, all these guys have like powers or something. I forget. It's a terrible movie. And one of them had a mind mansion where he could go into his mind and like find things. Like, he had things filed, memories and pictures and all stuff. And he could just, like, go into his like, this big mansion where everything was, like, saved. And if he needed to remember something, a phone number or whatever, he can go into his mind, literally. Like, it was almost like physically. He'd walk around his mind and be able to go find things, search for things. He had them filed in file cabinets. And I always wondered, like, they've got to find a way where you could go somewhere mentally. Like, get on a treadmill or get into the gym and go somewhere mentally and just sit there and watch TV or read a book or whatever, watch a Yankee game while your body is doing the physical activity. That's what I need. I need a mind mansion. A mind mansion would solve all of my problems. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls, say good morning, and get you ready for the biggest game of the Yankee season tonight. Carlos Rodon on the mound for the New York Yankees in the biggest series of the season, the biggest game of the season. The Yankees coming off two good wins after everybody said, oh, no urgency. They show no urgency, no urgency on a Friday, no urgency. Start the season, bullpen game, no urgency, no urgency. Well, they came right back, scored 12 runs after being down 5 runs 2 different times, and then Marcus Stroman came out and shoved against the Atlanta Braves, and the Yankees take 2 out of 3, getting ready to go into Toronto. That's right. I know it was sloppy. I know Vivas got thrown out. I know Warren didn't cover first base and Jazz didn't cover second. I don't care. I'm all excited. I'm pumped up. This is a pennant race, baby. Give it to me. Why do I still, you know, love the Yankees? Why don't I hate them with a passion of 1,000 suns like so many of you have? Because I consistently get this. Big games, pennant race. It's not good enough. Nobody gives you banners or parades for it. But damn it, I love this crap and I may move to England.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.